joined with my co-host, Jenna. Hey, Jen, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. What do we have going on? I feel like it has been a crazy Bravo world, and we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, that Mercury retrograde is hitting Bravo hard. Hard. The headlines just kept coming. We also have, I wouldn't mind doing like a quick Coachella recap. Not like a ton of drama out of there, but maybe a recap on some of the outfits, a little Taylor Travis. Then we could get into some of the Bravo headlines from this week, get into some Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, and I really this week want to talk about the Valley.
What?
Okay.
Love that. I don't want to forget about my IG follows because I have been doing my research and I want to talk to you to see if you have heard of or watched Cayman Island.
No, but I've heard of it.
Okay. It's so messy.
This is with Armie Hammer's. Yeah, this is, isn't this the one Armie. With Armie Hammer's like ex-wife?
Mm-hmm. Sure is. And the biggest thing is that we can get into it. I want you to catch up on it because it's so messy. Obviously produced, okay. Like it has that produced feeling. But the weirdest part is how she's like, I don't want to talk about Armie. Like, boo, the only reason you're even on the show is because of Armie Hammer. Like, no one literally would give a shit about you if it had nothing to do with Armie Hammer. But if you're like stuck at home and you're looking for a watch, I would say give Grand Cayman a watch. Only two episodes, so there's plenty of time to catch up. So what are you thinking about?
What's that on?
It's on Freeform, but you can watch it on Hulu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Coachella?
I just really like the content that it gives. Like, I like seeing all of the outfits. The thing about the outfits this year, too, is it feels like everyone went subtle and, like, really didn't lean into that full festival vibe like they do every year. Like, I picture Vanessa Hudgens, like, she was always, like, the queen of Coachella with the hats and the bracelets and the fishnet, like, all of that. It felt a little bit more low-key this year, which I kind of enjoyed. What else was on there? I mean, there's Travis and...
Who are you following? Like, when you're looking at people for Coachella, who are you looking at? Because I know who I'm looking at, which is so not age-appropriate, and it's freaking wild, but I want to know who you're looking at.
I always will check Kendall Jenner, and, like, that was one that was definitely, like, she had like just like a red dress and some boots on, super chill. I mean, yeah. Taylor's outfits are always pretty chill. Actually, The Cut just did an article. I know that we've talked about her like kind of fashion, or I guess lack thereof, a little bit, but The Cut just did an article on why they sort of think that is, and so that was
okay,
kind of interesting.
What did they say?
That she's playing in like, she never wants to feel so out of touch for her following, to her following. So, like, not leaning into, like, the crazy expensive fashion and, I guess, always sort of looking accessible so that their her fans could, I guess, almost easily mimic it.
Okay. That's interesting.
So, yeah.
I like that thought.
Yeah.
I found myself in an Alex Earle Coachella hole. Stop. Don't touch me. Because first of all,
I am.
I almost did so many TikToks on Coachella. Like, hey, geriatric millennials, I know I'm here with you. I know we don't know who any of these bands are or groups that people are talking about at Coachella. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, really? No Doubt shows up. And I'm like, do these freaking Gen Zers even know the chokehold that Gwen Stefani had on me as a 13-year-old? Do they even understand what No Doubt did to us as children growing up? Like, they have no clue, and they're out here singing the songs. And I'm like, you're all like 20 years old screaming to No Doubt. I mean, great that she's, you know, going they're, you know, No Doubt's reaching generations. But it just, the rest of the groups, bands, DJs, I'm like, who the frick is Dom Dalla? It just made me feel so extra old seeing the lineup.
Yeah, they are. No Doubt's going on tour. Actually, the first concert I ever went to without a parent.
Wait.
Blink-182.
No Doubt is going on tour?
Yeah. Are we going?
I mean, absolutely.
Blink-182 and No Doubt, first ever concert without any like parental supervision at the Tweeter Center. Speaking of geriatric, I don't even know what it's called now.
Interesting.
It's in Camden, whatever that, I don't know what it is now. To me, it will always be the Tweeter Center. But yeah, I saw she did that performance with Olivia Rodrigo. Okay. You know who did play Coachella? James Kennedy.
I saw that.
I was so proud of him. I was kind of proud. I'm not going to lie.
I feel like we all were. We've seen him come from the bottom. And I feel like this episode of Vanderpump, where he full on calls out Sandoval and is like, I'm so much better than this. I was like, James, good for you. And also then to see, it's like, it just so coincides with the same weekend that he plays Coachella was pretty iconic. It's so funny you say that, because the first time I saw No Doubt and Blink-182 was at the Tweeter Center also. Could you imagine if we were at the – well, no, there's no way. Because if you were without a parent
– 2004.
Mine, there used to be this festival. This was like 1995 probably.
2003. Oh, yeah, 1995. No. I was six.
No, this was like in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anywho,
yeah, the other thing about Coachella, I love seeing the content, obviously, but every year I'm like, I don't really want to go, and then the content comes out, I'm like, oh, that looks fun, but like only would want to do it with like total VIP access.
This is the exact thought that I had, like if I was going to do this, because it doesn't look appealing at all, and I've done one festival in my entire life. And that was Bonnaroo. Mm-hmm. That was 11 years ago. And we camped. So there's no shower for 3 days.
You camped?
This is the only time in my entire life. Only time.
I am shook right now that you went to a music festival that required, like, that came. This feels so not who you are.
It wasn't. You knew me then? I think you knew me then. And it's...
I think so.
Yeah, it's the only time I've ever camped. But also when you're drinking just like nonstop. I was with Corey. And it was great. But like, I was like, tick, done, good. Never have to do that again. I'm good. And as much as I want to say that Coachella... is like, oh yeah, I think if I liked some of the music more, then I would be like all in, but I didn't know any of the people enough to be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions like how you ended up there, but that's for another day.
It was so good. I saw Kanye West.
But yeah,
headlining.
Oh, better watch your words.
He was so bad, and everybody left. Everybody was leaving his show in droves because he started talking about, like, politics and all of these things, and I was walking up, and I was there probably for 15 minutes and left because he was so bad. Yeah. Anywho.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, well, I guess perfect segue into Bravo is the photo of Teresa Giudice and Taylor Swift. And my question is, do you think Taylor Swift has any idea who that is?
So I saw some.
Do you think she just thinks this is a fan in the crowd?
I saw some. You know how I'm now into lip reader Instagram?
Yes.
I saw some lip reader TikTok. And I don't know if it was a joke. I'm sure it was because I'm so gullible. I saw some TikTok that said she was reading lips and Travis says to her, do you see Teresa Giudice over there? And he goes, yeah, I know. And she says, yeah, I know, it's her.
No, that did not happen.
But I don't know if that was just...
There's just no way.
And I was like, is some account saying that? And it's like them whispering in their ear.
That's not happening.
That's a joke, right?
That's 100% that's a joke.
I don't believe that Taylor Swift is not in the zeitgeist of pop culture Bravo world.
I don't think she knows who Teresa is. I just don't. I saw
so
many memes about it, though. It's like, getting the photo for my daughters. And it's like someone spells out however, like, Teresa says it or whatever. So good. So, yeah, we had Teresa and Tim.
I just wanted a picture from my
kids. And then the Bravo, after that photo came out, the Bravo headlines kind of just kept coming. It was like that. Then it was Robin Dixon out. Candace is pregnant. What was the other one? Crystal from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills out. I was a little shocked by that one. Then the real one that got me real shocked. No. Is shock the word? I don't think so. But Alexia and Todd didn't shock me. But I think the way in which she kind of said that she, like, did you see the message that she wrote on her Instagram?
Yeah, like she seemed surprised.
That is what I think. Yes, yeah, yeah. That to me, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was really weird.
So, but he seemed messy.
He seemed.
Right? Didn't he seem like, he never gave me good guy vibes.
No, but she doesn't seem to be attracted to good guys. She seems to be attracted to guys that are somehow, like, I want to say the word connected. Preach. Like, she's like, her ex was in jail. I feel like she dates mobsters, like, you know, and he gives me those vibes. Yeah. I'm surprised you say you're shocked by Crystal. Like, Crystal to me brings absolutely nothing to my TV screen. I don't care.
I was shocked.
Are you like gonna miss her?
I just never disliked Crystal. I like that there's always, I like when a cast member has one person that's a little bit less like screaming all the time. And that, I just enjoyed her for that. Look, your face is like gonna blow up right now.
Less screaming. All she did this year was like hyena.
It was two episodes that she did.
I know, but that's all she did. Other than that, like, what was she bringing to the table? What did she say? She said nothing.
Well, I don't know. But, well,
I could go down that
either one. Way, that's another. Yeah, I know you are. I know. I almost didn't even write on the outline. I was like, this is going to be a pointless conversation to have.
I think it's great.
But it'll great be, it's kind of nice though, because that does, well, it leaves. So she's out. We obviously knew Anna Marie was going to be out. So that's two open spots, which means fresh blood. I'm like pretty excited and curious to see who that's going to be.
And they did announce in New York, they announced in New York, Rebecca Minkoff is going to join the cast. And in New York, she's very much a like, well, she's fashion. Well, I guess you would call her fashion designer. She does bags. And she's very much like in the scene. So she'll definitely bring a new energy to the table. And I was so afraid. I think we were so afraid for so long that Jenna Lyons wasn't going to come back. And it's been confirmed that she's coming back. So I can't wait. I'm so glad that that's happening and that she'll be back.
Yeah. In reference to the news about Rebecca Minkoff coming on, I saw like people were commenting like, she's a Scientologist or her in like a photo with someone. I was like, all right, can we not like get her canceled before she's even on the show? And it's like, okay, well, so yeah, like, do we all have to agree with Scientology? But is that enough reason to not be on a show? I don't know. Where do you stand?
The picture was of her and Danny Masterson. So that is interesting.
Okay, that's what the photo was.
That's interesting. I mean, a convicted rapist who is very high up in Scientology.
It's like, did she?
Right. Did she know? But I think when people,
but did she know?
I think when people associate Scientology nowadays, they're so like, now that the cracks have kind of come through Scientology, there's so much of this, like, what are they doing behind closed doors? What's happening to women? Who are they covering up for? I think there's more of that like controversy about the religion. Is it classified as a religion?
Yeah, I guess.
Belief, practice, community, cult. Oops, sorry, I didn't say it.
Maybe the women will question her about it and it'll make for some great TV. But I think also, like, just because she's in a, and this, I hold this opinion for, like, when we see any celebrity with someone who's convicted, it's like, that does not mean the celebrity knew the situation or, like, knew their baggage and what they have done. I don't know that they should be held accountable for that. That seems like a little bit of a stretch.
No, that's why it's also interesting. Like, of all of the photos Page Six puts out, it's the one with Danny Masterson. I'm sure there's other pictures of her standing next, but you know, it's Page Six. It's messy. It's what they do. It's a perfect play for Page Six. If you think about it, it's so freaking shady.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there, yeah, is there anything else in pop culture? I wasn't like, there was so much Bravo news. There wasn't anything that I was like, oh, there's so much crazy. Oh, okay. This isn't something I put on our outline, and this is not pop culture, but it is something that I asked my husband about, and I'm very interested to hear your thoughts. Okay. So you know how women, and I'll speak for myself, I think I'm speaking for you, get like hot and bothered by a man with a backwards hat and like if he's into sweatpants and you can see some things. So there was like this question. I don't know where it was posed. I'm sure I saw it on TikTok because that's where I live nowadays. And someone said, like, what's the equivalent for a man as it is for a woman? Like for us, it's backwards hat, sweatpants. What's it for a man? And so I asked my husband, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people on this on the TikTok said it's a sundress. And so 2 days later, my husband comes back to me and is like, I've really been thinking about that question you said. Of course, 'cause that's how he sounds. And he said for him, it's chicks in like sports jerseys or like chicks who know how to wear like sports brands, sports logos.
Like
In a
apparel?
fashion, yeah, sports apparel in a fashionable way, but not like leggings and stuff, but like a Knicks jersey or a Sixers jersey or like a Eagles sweatshirt and like a fitted, like who a girl who would be able to like pull that off in a fashionable way.
Well, I was really hoping that the answer was girls with gold hoops, but
Because imagine if it
looking
was.
out for us.
Imagine if it was sundress, because I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Jenna in a sundress.
You know, it's funny. I will ask Kyle this, but we've had not this exact conversation, but so it was like one of the first nice days here, like maybe like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we were walking and I said something like, oh, sundress season or whatever. And he was like, yep, every guy's favorite season. And I was like, huh? And I was like, oh, I guess, is this a thing? He was like, yeah, no guy is like not down for a sundress. And I was like, oh, okay. So I guess he's on to something.
Sundress. Oh my God. Who knew? Okay. That was just something I had to bring. Okay. My Meek just thinks it's baseball. Like, okay. What the frick?
I'm here for that.
Yeah. All right.
I like what he
All
said.
right. Let's get into
All
Summer
right.
House.
So we open up with part two of this dinner, Pedro's Italian dinner, and the conversation is still ongoing about with between Kyle and Amanda, and his sort of hesitation for even the kids are moving and moving out of New York. And then we go to bed, and Paige makes a comment like, don't you ever wish like he would just not say it on national TV? And I just thought that was kind of interesting where that the producers kept that in, like a little bit of the fourth wall break. We love a fourth wall break. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to check like this it's funny because I think this season we thought we went into it thinking this was going to be all about Carl and Lindsay. And when I was doing this outline, this episode especially was mo is it's like pretty much Kyle and Amanda.
Yeah, and I think for me, when I was watching this episode again, I rewatched it just because to talk about it today. And this is, there are so many red flags in this marriage that I just want to tell Amanda, like, don't stay. Like, this isn't a healthy marriage for either of them. Amanda's coming from a place of mistrust. And while I'm sure she thought it was a good idea at the time to marry Kyle, coming from a place of mistrust in any relationship, it's you can never, no matter what you do, get that trust back. And so every way that she moves from a place of mistrust. And it's making her look like the bad guy in this season. And I just feel like it's so unfair. I could relate to her so much in this episode. I know me and you had talked about it a lot. The things that he says to her, I just find so like he is totally fine dishing it out and like demeaning her, talking trash to her, but he can't take it back. He doesn't like when the fingers point it back. And the reason he dated someone 9 years younger is so that he could pull the strings a little bit. And Amanda's getting to the age, because there is a 9-year difference. So Amanda's in her 30s now, where that stuff that worked for her in her 20s, it's not really working anymore. And so she's kind of done with the bullshit. And I feel like we're seeing that episode after episode. The red, like all of the red flags and things that she didn't want to put up with before, it's kind of coming to light now.
Yeah, I don't think that Amanda looks like the bad guy, though. I really don't. I think that we've... Yeah, and I think you really hit it when you said, like, she's in her 30s now. I think us as women, we kind of just really start finding our own and, like, getting a little bit more comfortable in our own skin and what we're down for and what we're not down for.
Yeah.
Which takes us into the... So part of the her issue and, like, the big blow-up, especially on this beach scene...
Yeah.
Is the 4-8 coming in at 4 a.m. I knew that we've talked about this a little bit via text, and we have a little bit of different stances on it.
We have a lot of different stances. Do you want to go for it? Yeah.
So I will say where I'm coming from is not a place of mistrust. Right. Kyle and I have never had something like this happen. Like, I've never been, and for anyone who's listening who doesn't know, Kyle cheated on Amanda way back. I don't think they were engaged at that point, were they? Or were they?
They weren't engaged at that point. But then the year after they got engaged, in addition to the cheating, there was another on a night out. He blacked out. There was a potential maybe cheating. And like we had to DM people, and all of that was shown on national television. And let's just say, there wasn't sex cheating, but it was also like humiliation on national television. 2 seasons in a row. Or 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my, you know, stance, I actually had like, I even asked my partner, I was like, because I, in my head, I have an answer, but I was like, oh, am I delusional for thinking that I won't care if he comes home at 4 a.m.? And I asked him, and he was like, no, I don't think you'd be bothered. However, what he did say was circumstantial. Like, if he, okay, so this specific situation, Kyle was out with Carl and his guy friends after like fittings for the suits or whatever. And then I'm assuming they probably, in my head, I'm like, they did a late dinner and then they went out. Bars in New York don't close till 4. So I'm kind of like, if that's the case, and like Kyle goes, if it was on the calendar, you wouldn't care. I was like, yes, everything does need to be on a calendar.
Needs to be on the calendar. How many times a week do you say, put it on the calendar?
Exactly. He was like, if it was on the calendar that someone was coming in town and it was like this boys' night thing and I was out till that late, I don't think you'd give a fuck about, excuse my language, I give any shits about it. And I was like, okay, agreed.
Wait, you're Kyle, he was like, or Amanda's Kyle?
My Kyle.
Oh, okay. 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 Sorry.
Yeah. And then he asked a follow-up question. Is this guy, like, do you think that he's, like, out flirting with women at the bar at this time, like, at this hour? And I kind of said, no, I don't think that's what's happening. I think it was, like, just, like, a bunch of bros broing
out. How confident are you in that decision? Or how confident are you in that answer? Are you 100% confident
for my Kyle going out or for what?
Oh, for your Kyle. Kyle was asking you that question about Kyle Cook though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
How confident are you about Kyle Cook not flirting with chicks at bars? I also think Kyle is such a lush. Yeah, that he can't actually flirt with girls. He's too stupid at that point. We saw what he did with Stassi. Well,
I also think he's well aware that he can, well, like, he's a face that people recognize, and it would get back to Amanda. But I don't even think he's thinking that. I don't think he was out there to flirt with girls. I think he was there to hang out with Carl and his friends. And, like, as we know, the night sort of can get, you can get kind of, like, caught up. Like, I didn't come home till 2:30 in the morning on Tuesday night. And it's just, like, I planned to go out for 2 hours, and I left the house at 7:30. So, like, it can happen.
I just think for me, this is so insanely triggering, and I hate this for Amanda because so I was in a relationship where my ex would stay out until all hours of the night, but he did something to lose my trust. It wasn't cheating. It was something else. We don't need to get into that. He did something else to lose my trust. And so every time he was out, like all I thought about was that he was doing this thing and he would continuously do it. He wouldn't answer his phone. I would call all the times. He's not answering his phone. We saw this last summer where Amanda was blowing up Kyle's phone and he wasn't answering. This man is married. And I 100%, the reason I did not marry my ex, it 100% had to do with this reason, because I was like, I am not going to be a married woman with kids, if I wanted that, staying up waiting for someone to come in my door. And if I was Amanda preparing a life for someone, imagine you're home and you want to have kids with someone and you're thinking like, oh, I have to wait till he comes home at 4 a.m. What if the kids have to get up for, like, there's just so many. My point is, I think Amanda's coming from a place of mistrust. So she doesn't trust him. So if she doesn't trust him and he knows that she doesn't trust him and he's continuously doing this thing that leaves her in a place of mistrust, then it's just causing resentment over and over and over again. So he's not helping the situation, even if he's doing absolutely nothing wrong, which I think even Amanda knows that he's probably doing nothing wrong, but he's doing a repetitive action that was something that made her not trust him at one point. So it's now, she said it in the confessional, it's PTSD. It's just coming from a place. She immediately reacts a certain way because she remembers how she felt when it actually was a cheating or when it was something. So she's probably always on high alert that I could get a call tomorrow that's like, you know, Kyle did something last night, and a DM in her, you know, someone sliding in her DMs like, Kyle wasn't acting right, or a picture, or, you know. I also think she said on the beach, like, you don't need to be, or in the therapy session, like, you don't need to be hanging out with people you just met. Like, why is that so important? I also thought, as a married man, why did you stay back with this single guy at the bar? Like, what is your MO in that? If my husband stayed back at the bar with the single guy and then took an Uber home with the girl that the single guy brings home, dick chopped off. Chopped in half. Wow. No, thank you.
Okay. So a few things. So the, I don't have this kind of trauma. So I think I'm coming from definitely like a different place. Like we, and I'm not saying that like your current relationship doesn't have like an abundance of trust. I think just because Kyle and I don't know. I feel so almost opposite in how you and Amanda are feeling. But then at the same time, what I do agree with 100% though, and this is where like, the knowing that I'm calling and choosing to not answer my phone call, that's what would set me all the way off. Like, just because you don't want to deal with me, like, you already know how bad my anxiety is about this, and now you're not answering the phone. Like, that's mean.
It's also like really disrespectful. And I just want to be clear.
Yeah, it's such a mind fuck.
Because of my past PTSD, I chose to marry someone who doesn't drink a lot because I didn't want to be in that situation again. And it's like, I see so much in my younger self and Amanda where she's like the resentments. And like, I just want to tell her, like, this isn't going to be it. Like, he's never going to make you happy. And he's even losing her trust when he says like, he's not sure about moving to New Jersey. Because that's something they talked about. That's something they said that they were going to do. I think Kyle plays into a lot of Amanda's insecurities about herself and doesn't build her confidence in the woman she's becoming. And I hope that one day in the next few years, she gets the strength to step away from him. Because I think he's preyed on that in a way, because I can't think of a better word, to kind of drag her along and get her to do what he wants and he needs. And now, like I said, she's starting to kind of see through that.
I also think, you know, I mean, in the after show, she had mentioned that this doesn't happen like often. It's just like, she's like, it, you know, it'll only be like, he only goes out like 5 times a year, but it, it's like the times he goes out, he can't just like go for a few drinks. He has to like totally send it. And I'm like, five times a year is like not that bad. But like, again, like I totally don't want to invalidate where she's coming from, because I know that it has to do with the trauma. I think the other thing that we can't like leave out is she openly talks about how she doesn't really like going out very much, and like she would sort of prefer to stay home.
Yeah.
And it really makes me wonder, like, does that work? Like, I don't always want to go out, and Kyle can definitely go out without me, but I don't think that I'm as extreme as where she's at on this scale of like wanting to stay in versus go out.
Yeah. I think it seems like she really, there has to be some sort of balance, right? But I think it all, yeah, I think there has to be some sort of balance, but that's where it just seems like they're so disconnected in everything, everything they're talking about. It just feels they're very, very disconnected. I mean, Kyle on the beach saying like, I'm a social person and being married to you is lonely as hell. That saying that two years into marriage, it's not going to get better. Yeah. Throwing a kid in there, it's not going to make things better. Yeah. Let's just like break the news. I hope that she or he makes the decision to do the right thing. I don't see longevity in their marriage. I'm sorry to say it.
Okay. So kind of going off of what we said last week about, I had made a comment about how in the after show, talking about Carl and Lindsay's engagement, marriage, like Paige was like, you know, being in a couple on Bravo that fans really like attach themselves to can really play into like how long you kind of keep staying in the relationship, because you're like, you like those likes and you see the comments online and you kind of convince yourself like, yes, this is it. This is it. And I sometimes wonder, do you think that can play a role in Amanda's willingness to sort of like stay? Because even though she says she's more of a homebody and doesn't like, you know, all of the like going out and stuff, you know that they all like, number one, the paycheck and like the lives that it sort of allows them to live, the clothing that they get to wear. Like, I feel like all of that part of it, she does really enjoy.
If you think about it, her whole identity is wrapped up in Kyle in some degree. Her work, her entire job. He took her away from her job to now be underneath him. Me neither. Her work, second job, her now all of her friends. Amanda is going, and I think when you watch newer seasons or beginning seasons of Summer House, you can see, again, Amanda's a young 20-something. Like, I think she was 23. Mm-hmm. You can see that, like, insecurity. And I think it's, like, you can feel that insecurity with her sometimes, whether it's around her job, whether it's wanting her to hear compliments from Kyle. It's like, this is the first season where I feel like we've seen Amanda stick up for herself, and I hope that she's continuing like to gain her confidence away from him.
I think she did an interview with, was it, I don't know what, if it was like People or Reality Blurb, or it was she did an interview, maybe it was even Page Six, but she basically is saying like, this is sort of her season of like trying to unravel herself out of the like Kyle box of it, like that she's not just Kyle's wife. And she even said, she's like, I actually hid behind that for a while. Like, like she says in the interview, this is the first interview that I've really done without him even here. Like, he's actually at home. He's not here, because before I would always want to do our interviews together so that I could like let him answer first, and then I could kind of bounce off of what he said and kind of like follow that and not be just the, like, I don't know. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so you can, I think this goes like, and I'm not saying it, you know, it never works, because I, you know, certainly know people who it has worked for, but there really is something to be said about waiting to find your person until you're through your, at least most of your 20s. Like, I 100%. Met Kyle around like 28, maybe like the end of, 28, and that feels appropriate. Like I felt like I was sort of like, but 23, 24, 25, like those early 20s, like you're still insecure. Like you're not quite there yet. You don't like know yourself that well.
No.
And again, like I'm not saying it can never work. I'm just saying I think if like I had a daughter, I would certainly advise her against that. Like, let's, you know, try and wait, discover yourself a little bit more, play around.
Yeah. I remember my sister said to me, do not get married before you're 30 years old. And I was like, okay. And that was what I used as an excuse to my ex to not propose to me. I was like, well, my sister said I can't get married. So like, and not that I was like, you know, saying everything, but I was like, I just want to wait until I'm 30 to see like what happens at 30. And sure enough, at 29 and a half, I broke up with him and was like, deuces. I know what she means.
Yeah.
She means this is not it. But I love that you said that about Amanda on the after show, because her starting to take those steps away from Kyle is going to help her build that confidence. And I think it will take her to that next step that I'm trying not to say out loud.
I think I would like to see her leave Lover Boy, like, and do her own career, whatever that is. Like, she's clearly talented. I think having her own line of work that, and something that is hers and that she's passionate about, will give her that confidence. And also that means when she goes home, guess what she doesn't have to talk about with Kyle? Lover Boy.
Like, give yourselves another topic. Like, I know at my dinner table, we're talking about each other's day. And like, imagine, what do you talk about? What do you talk about?
It's not just like, be too much.
Yeah. You're just consuming. You're living. I could never work with my husband. It just wouldn't be the right move at all.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But, go ahead.
Do you want to know my favorite scene from this episode was?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is it Wes with his great aunt sitting at the park?
Wes! Why do you think that's my favorite?
How did I know? I think because it was the internet's favorite scene of all time.
Oh my God, was it? I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I wrote in my notes, like, if that's all I could aspire to be is like the cool Aunt Amy that lives in New York that like my nieces and nephews could come to see. And like, I show them one cool thing one time. And, you know, in 20 years, we're having a chat at the park drinking margaritas on the West Side. Like, what a dream. Amazing. Like, life made.
Yeah.
Oh, it gave me such.
I see that for you.
Yeah.
The other thing is Sierra signs with a modeling agency, which is like not surprising at all. What I did want to know, do you have any thoughts on like, they're obviously like, I don't think that they're dating. I think that that's sort of abundantly clear. But I'm wondering what you think made it sort of fizzle out.
No, I mean.
Do you think it was the modeling and her like traveling, or do you think.
I
heard someone's perspective say that, like, she started, like, working a lot and, like, was doing a little bit of traveling for the modeling. And, like, they were like, that's why I think they hinted at her manager saying, like, you're just going to have to up and leave or whatever. Like, they made it a point to show that. And the person, I forget who it was who was talking about it, was like, I think it probably was, not that Ciara wasn't into it, but Wes wasn't pursuing enough while she was traveling. And so then it sort of just like nothing major happened. It sort of just was like, she was like, he's not like giving 110% here. So it is what it is.
I feel like that scene with his aunt gave us the information we needed. Like you don't really pursue a lot of chicks. You don't date like seriously a lot. I think that was like a little intro into the, like, he doesn't like commitment. And to me, it was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Ciara is going to want more. And West, I think also like West right now is starting to get a little bit of that like fame, that Bravo fame. I'm sure his DMs are blowing up. We saw him on Watch What Happens Live last week. And I do love how respectful still he is speaking of Ciara. So there's obviously no bad blood there. It might have just fizzled out. I want a man for Ciara. That's what she deserves next.
I had even said that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to ask about the next thing. I want to hear what you're going to say about this.
Okay. I was just going to say, I had said this earlier on that I saw it like starting to get not platonic. And then I think that following week I took it back. But even Nick Vile was saying on the podcast that he was getting a little bit of those vibes. Like, he's like, yeah, he's, you know, like the funny guy. And like, it's all, you know, you're down. And then all of a sudden you're in bed with him and you're like, am I down?
Yeah, he gives off platonic. That's
friend zone. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the same way Tom Schwartz gives platonic, but I wanted to say someone's name that we know that we can't say, but we can talk about that later. Okay. I'm curious what your thoughts were. The one thing I am really liking is how they're breaking up groups of people that we've never seen before. I'm loving this. I hope they keep doing this.
Yeah.
I want it not to be produced, but I'm loving it. It's just like we're having different conversations. Mm-hmm. I like that we're getting along and there's not as much fighting in the outside groups. Mm-hmm. Like that scene, I have two questions for you. The scene where Paige and Kyle are talking, and Paige, I want to know, what are your thoughts on men crossing their legs like the way that Paige said, or do you want them to put the ankle on the knee?
I guess I don't super care, except there, now that you just asked me this question, someone popped into my head and I remember having an ick feeling about it when I saw it. And I was like, oh, maybe I, and so now that you just asked me, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I don't like that. I don't think Kyle could even get his legs to that. I think he's a little tight. I don't think those hip flexors are moving that way.
That's so funny, maybe. Because Meek solely sits the way that Paige said gives her the ick. He solely sits like a lady. Yeah. Which I thought was interesting. The other thing that was a little bit of a red flag, let's get back to Lindsay and Carl quickly, is the fact that they're having sex and no one's orgasming. What are your thoughts on that?
I know. Not good. You gotta make that work.
Abort.
You got to make that work.
See, if you could have zoomed in on Sierra's face in that while she's at the kitchen, like as a 20-something-year-old and she's listening to like late 30s, like I just want to know what was going through her head as Lindsay's saying. Everyone's like, no one came. It's like, wait, what is happening? Like imagine a 26, 27-year-old woman being like, the guy didn't come. Like, listen, girl, sometimes things happen, but no one.
I know, no one. Yeah, that was wild. Wait, real quick, too, before we move on.
Oh.
Kyle crying about the photos. What are your thoughts on Amanda not having any photos of them?
I think Kyle needs to put on his big girl panties, grow up, and stop drinking so much. That's what I absolutely think. I think if you went through my camera roll, it would probably take you... Like, Kyle did not mean that there weren't any photos on Amanda's entire camera roll of him. You would probably have to scroll up past my TikToks, which is probably the same thing. They also have two dogs. Imagine if you had two dogs, not just one dog, what your feed would look like. Like how far they're together for 10 years, 8 years, 9 years. Like how far would you have to go back to find a picture of Kyle?
Mine are just Raleigh.
I was going to say, like, if I went through my phone right now, it would be, like, my TikToks.
Raleigh's the star of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay, cute. I'm going through. It takes me, like, two full scrolls to get to a picture of Meek in a group photo. And 3, 4, 5, 6 scrolls.
Yeah.
6 full scrolls to get to a picture of me and him.
Yeah, I have to, I'm like doing it right now. And all of the ones that I can see, Raleigh's in them.
Like, Kyle, so, stop it.
Yeah.
Put on your big girl pants. Yeah. They have a lot of work to do.
Do you feel ready to move on to Vanderpump Rules?
Do you?
I do.
I do too.
Okay, great. So that's a wrap on Summer House till next week. Okay, I don't know if I'm being super like cynical, but for whatever reason, Vanderpump Rules is feeling so produced to me that I'm having a hard time not picturing like the camera guy like right there the whole with every scene. And I think the thing that like really just heightened it even more was Lala going into Tom Tom. Well, okay, actually, them even being at Tom Tom creating cocktails as if they have any say in the cocktail menu at Tom Tom. Okay, so let's just start there because this was so produced. And then
screaming
Lala randomly showing up and then turns to Lisa and is like, yeah, can I have my donor party at your house tomorrow? And I was like, are you guys trying to convince us that this was not already pre-planned? Like, I'm finding it a little bit hard to watch.
Well, wait, first of all, the first book. Yes. Yeah, the Tom Tom.
I really jumped in there.
No. The Tom Tom brunch where I was like, or where they're like doing the cocktails. It couldn't have been more of a joke. Exactly. I thought the exact same thing. Like for your 5%, they're making brunch cocktails. And they're like, yeah, we have 50 covers. And I was like, 50 covers for a Sunday brunch covers? Is trash.
I thought that too. When I heard 50 covers, I was shocked that Lisa let that stay in.
Same. Like
for
like,
anyone who is not... worked in the restaurant industry, 50 covers is not good, especially for a Sunday brunch or whatever, Saturday brunch. A weekend brunch, 50 covers, it's like,
oh my God.
We are cutting servers for that shift.
Yeah, it was insane. I just was like, that's insane that that's what you're putting on there. Like, say 300. Come on. You could tell. You could tell it was 50 covers. But the top of top of this episode was so weird to me how they're doing this music video. And I just wanted to point this out because it was so funny.
Okay. Is that where the episode begins?
Yeah. At Kyle Chance. And they're in his place, his jewelry store, shooting Sheena's music video. Meek, my husband, literally was like, when the hell are we going to be done with this song? I was like, yeah,
I know. I agree. And we've had Good as Gold shoved down our throat for a decade. Can you believe that? A full decade of Good as Gold or whatever.
And I think the funniest thing was Sheena's like, I think Katie didn't want to come because of that blow up with Lala. And I was like, Sheena, Katie doesn't want to come because she's a 38-year-old woman who doesn't want to be in your bedazzled music video. And this is just her way of telling you nicely. You think it has anything to do with Lala that she can't handle that heat? Give me a break. Give me a break. She's oh my God.
I think someone did make a meme about this, like basically saying exactly what you said. Like, this is not why Sheena.
No.
This is nothing to do with Lala. She just is not.
Yeah. Get a clue. You know what's also funny? So I was writing my notes for this episode, and in the beginning of this, they have like a scene with Allie and James talking about the Bethany episode. And I was like, I'm so sick of these scenes with James. Like, I need more James. And don't you know, that's what we get this episode. We got more of the James Kennedy that we know and love with his snarkiest comments.
I know.
And his spitfires.
We'll get into that because he has quite a scene in this episode.
For sure.
Let's go back to the recording. So they're doing this, shooting this video. And all this fuss over this house. And Lala turns to Ariana and says, can I use your house for my sperm donor party? The one that I have been trying, you know, really convincing you to get out of for your mental health. Can I have a party there? I was like, huh?
The nerve. This bitch.
What?
Can you believe?
This bitch is right.
Can you believe? On what planet? On what?
That was rich.
On what planet do you think that you can have your sperm donor party there? The best part is that great friend Ariana.
So weird.
Like, what are the producers doing here? What angle do they want us to go? Because this is really tough. This is really tough because you're making me really, like, we've seen everything Lala's been saying. And now she's asking to use the house. Now, mind you, the next part of this gets worse when Ariana says, I'm sure you were freaking out when Ariana says, well, the house oh. is in good shape, and then they start showing pictures of the house with all the boxes and the crap all over it. The agita. No better word.
It was real.
You gotta
get I couldn't in there. I just couldn't.
No,
you gotta. I mean, I was like, oh man, I guess like if you're moving, there's like the incentive to get it out, not to mention she's like really booked in busy during this time. But I'm like, oh boy, can't we just get like the home edit in there or something to do a little organizing? A little collab.
It was a lot. They talk a lot about Bethany's podcast in this, and I don't know if you saw that Rachel responded.
Hold on. I want to hear about that because I actually didn't get to like really read a lot of that. But the way that the commitment to not saying the name of the podcast, or the, I think as Katie called her, the podcaster. Did you catch that? She's like, the podcaster asked Rachel, blah, blah, blah. And they did get into a little bit of how this woman knows nothing about the show, yet was doing the interview. And it was a very like reminiscent of Howie Mandel. And it's like, yes, these are not the people to be doing these interviews. You know who should be doing these interviews? You and I should.
We are always- But I have to be honest, that podcast, even for us, like we did a whole show on it. It really, like, I think it gave us some empathy towards Rachel that hadn't been there before, because I do think that some of the things she was saying there is truth to. And it's interesting to see this side of things that they're all hearing it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's almost like you think maybe they didn't listen. Yeah.
No, they definitely did. They all listened, and they, because it was, and it kind of took me back because I almost forgot, but it was, I remember waking up, it was like 3 days in a row, part one, part two, part three. And it was just like, oh, wow, I wonder when that was.
It was August 15th. I looked because I wanted to know for reference how much longer or how much after. Yeah. Because one thing that is so odd to me is that this is like the third time we see Tom Sandoval crying about Rachel on the TV screen.
While in a dipped out t-shirt, but we'll get into that because the disrespect this man, I can't. Okay. Let's slow down here, but
he's crying.
So what did Rachel,
but he's crying over Rachel, and not once have we seen him shed a tear over the 10-year relationship he lost. But he's crying over this person that he said that he loved. It's kind of crazy. Yes.
It is kind of crazy. But wait, what was Rachel, how were Rachel's responses? Like, what were they like?
She basically just said, like, Sheena said that I didn't pay rent and I didn't, I called her this and that. And it was just like her responding to the claims that everybody made and then putting the clips of Bethany's podcast directly next to it, basically saying like, that's not what I said. It's kind of funny.
Oh, wow.
Kind of shady. Yeah. And I was like, this is funny. She would have been
kind of shady. Yeah.
She honestly should have came back because she would have had she would have had a great season. Like people would have given her empathy for sure. Lala would have been the first one. Let's be honest.
But then she was just recently talking shit on her again.
Lala?
So I can't keep up with Lala. Yeah.
Yeah, but Lala talks shit about everybody that she wants to be friends with. What are you talking about? It's her ML.
Yeah, that's true. I know. It's really.
Blah, blah. I saw someone on TikTok call her blah, blah, and it's my favorite thing.
Wait. Obsessed. Absolutely obsessed.
Blah, blah.
Wait. Okay. Let's talk about Tom Sandoval real quick. Because I did want to also note, at this very produced scene of the cocktail things, him coming all in, like, so moody, 45 minutes late, which reminded me he was about that late for Nick Biles' podcast, No Remorse. And I'm pretty sure I can speak for both of us when I say,
oh my God,
we are not down for tardiness. It is so disrespectful. I don't care what the situation is.
There was nothing I could focus on more than how late he was going to be. I was like, is he serious that he's literally this late right now? 45 minutes. If I am running 4 to 7 minutes late to my doctor's appointment, I'm calling.
Wait, literally, there was one time I went to work and I was like, I'm going to be like, I literally texted, I'm going to be 2 to 3 minutes late. I got there at 6:01. I'm covered in sweat. I had just sprinted off of the subway, got to work, and everyone was like making such a joke of it. They were like, you're fine. You're in the clear here. But I was like, no, but like, I'm not. This is not okay. Like, you need to be on time for things. This is not
it's the ultimate
plan ahead, disrespect. Plan better. Like, it's just, yeah.
It's the ultimate. And the fact disrespect.
that he didn't come in with his like tail between his knees 45 minutes. 45 minutes.
But he never would come in between
with
his
entire tail. Episode of Vanderpump Rules. An entire episode.
I just think when you're late for something, it just shows like, I know it's like their own personal problem, but I think it shows such a blatant disrespect for the person that you're there with. And you're holding up production now. You're holding up like an entire team of people. It's just, he's that would drive me insane.
I know. It was just, not great. Not great at all.
You wrote on here, do I think that Tom was actually in love with Raquel? I want to know what you think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think they got caught up in this, like, I think it was, like, that deep lust, like, where it's, like,
clouded.
Addicting, and then on top of it, it's, like, this secret that you're holding with this other person, and that sort of, like, for whatever reason, that does add some, excitement and thrill to the whole thing, and that itself is addicting. And I think on top of that, like, Sandoval has said himself that he really, like, thrives on experiences, and that's what he was missing with Ariana. Like, he wanted to do shrooms in the desert and, like, have these, I think those are all telltale signs of him not, to me, that tells me he wasn't in love. He was in love with this, like, newness, like, that, the beginning of a relationship that's, like, obviously always the best, but I don't think he was in that, like, in love, that real shit, where it could go the distance.
I think he thinks he was. I think he fantasized of what this was and what it could be. And I think he's probably still holding on to that. Even now, probably, he's probably still holding on to this, like, fantasy. Like, if it would have worked out. Because people like him, that's what they do. They hold on to these, like, grandiose ideas of, like, it's crazy that... Yeah, love is a big
word. But he has
word.
A girlfriend?
Yeah. But I'm sure he's a love bomber.
I think
bomber.
It's so crazy.
I think we've all been...
The fact that some girl decided to date him is just wild.
It is, after seeing all of this, too. Yeah, this episode, the Tom Sandoval of it all, there was one moment in the episode, and I'm definitely jumping ahead, but...
Okay.
Sheena coming, and even coming up to Tom Sandoval, where she is at the... This is at the very end, and I know we have more to chat about, but when she comes up to him, and she's trying to make another buck after she has kind of said, like, oh, I'll see where this goes. Like, maybe I could be open to a friendship. And we know that she's kind of softening to him. And then her coming up and being like, did you hear the podcast? Well, I made a song about it. She just, like, her as a person is everything that I don't like in a friend. And actually just in a person in general. She's one of those people that is not, in addition to her being like a pick me girl, she's so thirsty. Nick Vile said it so good on his podcast.
So thirsty.
Lala and Sheena are the main character. Like, they, Ariana's just being the main character, and Lala and Sheena are always trying so hard to be that main character. And this is just another example of how Sheena is trying to be the main character in this Sandoval thing. I was traumatized. I'm sure you were, by having a restraining order on you. I'm sure that was trauma. I'm not going to deny that. But, like, then let it go. You think keep playing into the trauma and keep writing songs about it and keep bringing it into your daily life is going to make the trauma go away? Was it that traumatic, or are you still trying to profit off of it? Like, what's the story?
Well, the thing is, like, her thirst will overtake every other feeling she has about anything. Like,
yeah,
that's sad. When the opportunity is there, she's taking it.
Yeah. It's,
I also, speaking on this song, because we're here, the way Sheena tried to convince us that she wrote the song in her confessional, beyond. I was like, okay.
Sheena, stop.
But
stop,
that's it. New. I just had to point that out. Yeah. We don't have to get super into that, but I was just like, oh boy. Oh boy. Sheena. Always out Sheening herself. No one does Sheena better than Sheena. No one.
Just want to know, like, what did you think? I think there was, okay, so a few things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The sperm donor party, it softened me back to Lala, because I thought, like, this is sad that she wants a baby. And then it made me think, is she just having a baby so that she can film it to be on the Valley? Because she can't film.
No, I don't think that.
Ocean. So I hope not. But also, this really...
I'm sure it's a perk.
Yeah. A perk. Oh my God. I would... Okay. But I like this idea where she wanted to do this. I thought it was like a really cool way of doing something different and... including your people you love when this isn't the most conventional way and people are having children in non-conventional ways and creating non-conventional families. And I thought it was a really beautiful moment. And because of everything that Lala's done this season, it was so hard for me to enjoy it with her.
Agreed. But yeah, I don't want to like knock the sperm donor party because yes.
I thought it was great.
Like, love is love. And yeah, and that part's fine. I did have a note, though, from this going back to Lala being blah, blah. So there's this situation. Allie tells Katie something that Lala said at the paintball and, like, that she's, like, miserable or whatever, like, unhappy. And then they start. So then that presents, like, itself for a conversation between Katie and Lala. And what Lala does here is so... Lala. So she straight up says, I feel like you don't... Okay, so this is Lala talking. I feel like you, Katie, do not have time for me. Katie responds and says, I have nothing but time. I don't have a baby. I don't have a person. Like, just because Ariana and close does not mean that that is, like, that is it for me. And then she chimes in and is like, she needs someone... to like reach out. And Katie straight up says, I do the reaching out. I do text you. I do call you. Lala agrees with Katie and agrees that Katie is the one reaching out and that she, Lala, in fact, does not put in the effort or give Katie the time. And yet still blames Katie for the
And I don't know if you caught, did you catch this line that Katie said that I wanted to be like, mic drop? Katie says to Lala, you're giving your softness to the wrong people. Something along those lines about her giving her softness. Like, you're being soft to the wrong people. Like, where's my softness? Like, I'm your friend. I thought it was a really beautiful moment, but there's so many times that Lala has come for Katie, then started crying and been like, oh, I'm fine. So, like, what is it? Do you want to be the big bad wolf that talks shit? Or are you really vulnerable and you want to have this vulnerable moment with your friend? Because, like, true friends can get into fights, but, like, I could get into a fight with my best friend. I actually did this week. We were screaming at each other as I was walking down 89th Street, screaming at the top of my lungs. And the end of the conversation was, I love you. And never in a million years would I go on national television and talk shit on her. Never in a million years. Because that's what loyalty is. You, like, keep that shit close to the vest. You could talk about it in, like, a grandiose or, like, a, you know, vague way for the
objective. Yeah.
Yeah. For the TV show. But like that's not what it's. It just makes it like, which is it, Lala? Which is it? Pick a side.
That's my point. Like the conversation that she had and what she said to Katie was to me exactly who Lala has become. Like she can't figure it out. She knows what she's saying. Yeah. Or like what she's feeling. Mm. It's just really all over the place.
To run her mouth.
But the other thing on top of that is like, she watching these scenes where like, if we didn't see her, you know, blabbing her mouth all over the place, we could almost like her in these scenes, but because so much is happening off of our TVs that I can't even watch this and feel genuinely like good about what I'm seeing because I know it's just all bullshit.
Yeah. And you know what? All I saw was the second she picked her donor, you saw Ariana's face, the biggest smile you could ever see, excited as she could be, ready to cheer on her friend. Hopefully you're doing the same thing, Lala. Hopefully you're cheering on your friend the same way she's cheering you on. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
I'm done talking about
so
Lala.
So this brings me... Mm. Okay, well, hold tight because I do want to just discuss what we think the potential... Remember last week I asked what you think this rumor could be about the reunion or whatever and like stuff comes out?
Oh, well, I forgot so to tell I saw, you. I asked Bravo and Cocktails.
You did.
Yeah. She was still trying to figure it out. But there hasn't been much other than they're going to watch together. And I don't know if you've seen some of the blinds about there being talk that something about her isn't actually going to happen.
No, Katie was just on Danny Pellegrino's podcast yesterday saying that it is going to happen. But yes, there is some turmoil with Penny, that lady that was like another partner in the whole thing. So we'll see how that shakes out. But so what I heard a little bit is like, and I think I've heard a few hints, like people talk different on screen. Like one of the reasons that Lala is so upset and Sheena or whatever is that people say things in front of the camera or behind the camera, but not in front of the camera. And I saw something that said Katie was like talking, like airing some grievances that she has had toward Ariana, but because that wouldn't be in favor of the audience, that she doesn't say it on air. And that's what has like the girls upset. And like, let's say that is the case. Does that change your mind? Because I'll say for me, it doesn't, mostly because I think that it would be fair to have a few grievances when you're trying to open a business with someone and there's like a lot of other stuff going on in her life that she's making a priority, that it would be a little frustrating at times. And I think Katie is allowed to have those frustrations.
This is what I think. I think if there were just like you said, if somebody were opening a business and you're talking to your other friend about it, like fair, the headaches that go into opening a business, that the pain and the suffering and the days and the this of trying to get that business opened. But what they probably heard through the grapevine was like a little minuscule like bitch fest about like, oh, I can't get in touch with her because she's so busy, or like we can't nail down a date. And they probably took that and then it went through, played the little telephone through the person, because she's not saying it to her trusted sources, Lala and Sheena. You know she's not saying it to them. So whoever it went through then probably came out, they turned it down the telephone row and made it a bigger thing than what it is. And it wouldn't change it for me. And
I don't think Katie's grievances, if she said anything about Ariana behind her back, would have anything to do with really like being jealous of Ariana's success. Like, I don't think it would have anything to do with that. I think it would be like, I need to get her on the phone for this. And like, I could see her talking to Dana or something over drinks and being like, oh, I'm just getting a little frustrated right now because of like, A, B, and C, and And I kind of, yeah, like that seems fair. And I think Ariana would probably also be like, yeah, that's probably pretty frustrating.
I was going to say, they seem like also the type of friends that would absolutely 100% have this conversation like grown-ass women and move on, which is something that Sheena and Lala obviously cannot do. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the Valley before we wrap up. Because I, in direct contrast to Vanderpump Rules, I felt that this episode was really, like, authentic. And the conversations that were being had on air, I was like, whoa, they are just bearing it all. I mean, aside from this random Malibu house that just popped up.
Like, that Miss obviously. Universe's house. Oh, is there another? What do you mean?
So that part's obviously very produced, but the conversations that these women were having, I don't know. I was like really like enthralled with the episode. I really like, I turned it when the episode ended, I was like, oh my God, I Quentin Tarantino sit down because this was a great episode.
Even the men in the pool had an interesting conversation. It kind of was an interesting take on marriage conversations. You don't see this a lot. One thing that we all want to say is Brittany, file the papers.
They're not getting back together.
Jax, there's just no way. Like Brittany is to me what Amanda and Kyle are. Like, don't get me wrong, Kyle is no Jax Taylor, but in the same vein of like, she has but she's hung on to Jax to like as her security blanket. And she's now in a place where she's like, I'm a mother. And guess who's not my priority?
Yeah.
My skiing husband who loves to go and do whatever the hell, like that scene where Jax says like, you need to not be out drinking. You're a mother. Moms around the world were gasping because who do you think you are? Not to mention all the rumors that you see. Not to mention the rumors you see you are about Jax, who's not only drinking, doing everything else. And when we say everything else, in the we're time, saying the nose candy.
Like, especially in a time of like the nose candy being so unsafe. Like it is pretty much all laced with fentanyl and you have a child and like, she's not coming down your throat for that shit. And again, allegedly, although we pretty much saw it, but allegedly,
I can't.
The way that he speaks to her and like, I think that we're going to see a little bit more about, you know, when the veil really came off, or like came down for her and she was like, oh, no. But you can tell that she's like, we're women. We get it. Like the struggle, no matter what your shape or size is, the struggle with your body is, it's ongoing. It is just like, it feels sometimes like it's every day, like you eat something and like, you're not necessarily like expressing it to anyone, but like the monologue is happening. Pretty much all the time. Should I have eaten that? Why did I have that ice cream last night? Oh, I feel like this now. Like, I feel gross now. If I didn't have that. And then it's like, even thinking ahead to like, I feel like even when the holidays come around, it's like something like so present. It's like, okay, there's going to be a lot of food here today. So maybe I shouldn't eat the night before. Like there's the constant conversation food that noise. Us women are having.
Yeah.
The food noise. Yes. I've never heard it called that. Is that a thing?
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe I've been through so many nutritionists and health people that we call it in the.
So then you add the person that you're supposed to trust the most, your best friend, playing into the narrative that you already have about your body. That needs to be the person that's lifting you up. To me, that's it. That's the line. I'm out.
He just is. He doesn't deserve any woman. I don't know how to say that in another way.
No.
He doesn't. The way that he treats women is so disrespectful. And this is just one way to see it. We go from that conversation to what's the mom with the two new twins?
Nia. She is stunning.
stunning, and how raw and vulnerable she is. I'm sure that scene, this whole episode, spoke to a lot of moms going through postpartum. How brave she was and vulnerable to talk about what that feels like and what she's going through with two little babies on national television. Kudos to her for having that conversation, which I'm sure so many women in the world feel after having a baby.
I also, you know, her husband was, I feel like, showed like real, you could feel like the love between them is so pure and real. And I really just like I kind of just wanted to shout him out for that. But on top of that, I think the interesting thing that she says too, that for whatever reason caught my attention, is that she didn't feel it with the first child and then having going through the pregnancy again. I wonder if that adds an extra layer of like, oh my God, is this forever? Like, this didn't happen last time. Why is it happening it this time? Is this my new normal?
Is it and me? Like, is it them? Is like, it?
Like, why this time? Why not that time? Like the panic.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
This was one of the reasons when I did my list of reasons I didn't want children. Literally the postpartum was in my reasons, because I know that I personally would suffer in a sense of like, I would suffer from something that I think would be like, I feel like my life is lost previous, which is probably different, but what contribute to the baby blues. I've had friends that had the baby blues. And it's really hard when you're out there with a partner that doesn't support you. And I think it's so great to see Nia and her partner. What's his name? Danny. Like, they seem, he seems like such a supportive partner, and you know, it's, it's good to see out of all the relationships, there's a healthy one in there. Cause then we get to Michelle and Jesse. Jeez.
Louise. I was like, okay. Oh boy. So, okay. So another really raw conversation that I truly was like, holy shit, they're doing this on air. They're having this conversation, and he kind of brings up like, hey, we're paying a lot, you know, we're spending money on all this therapy. And Jess is like straight up like, do you want to be in this? And she kind of is like, you could see it happening in real time. And she's like, essentially, to me, I read it as no. She doesn't straight up say no, but she is very much unhappy, and you can see it.
You could see it from episode one. You could see it from episode one. She holds that resentment towards him for whatever reason. I know that there's things in the Bravoverse that are out there about her being unfaithful, which is interesting. And I think that that's going to be the bomb that's dropped next week.
I think I'm pretty sure it is, because you can see the both of them like sort of storming out. Yeah. And then this whole thing, kind of what he was talking to the boys about in the pool, about him like spending time, about her spending time with this director, this like very famous
Beverly
director,
Hills Hotel.
Always down at the show Chateau Marmont.
Oh, Chateau Marmont. Okay.
Because I guess it's like right down the street from them. And I guess like, but like for like days at a time.
So.
And he was like not crazy. I was having a hard time figuring this scene out or what he was saying. And I don't know. Jax was in his confessional, like, I know, it could be a client, but
but you could see Jax. To me, every time they pointed at Jax in that scene, the camera pointed at Jax. Jax was sitting there, like, I'm not gonna say it. You already know that him and Kristen have already planned out their whole season around what they're gonna say, and he's sitting like. If you go back and watch that, he's just sitting there like this, like, I'm not going to say anything. It's wild. So I'm excited to see what happens. But this is another show that's bringing the heat.
I'd like to, I'm enjoying it more, especially this last episode, more than I've been enjoying Vanderpump Rules. The thing with the Vanderpump Rules, though, that I am enjoying, the after shows. I almost could just watch the after shows at this point, because the episodes feel so produced and fluff. Yeah. And like the after show is basically them just asking them to live report on the scenes that we want to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't even know why I'm watching the episode.
And that's on Peacock only.
Yeah. Right? And Summer House is doing the after shows now, and they're really good. They're not as good as the Vanderpump Rules, but they are really good.
I love that.
But real quick, before we totally wrap this up, I didn't have a ton of feelings on Kristen's boyfriend until this episode. There's something he does in this confessional when he says, but I have a secret or whatever that I can't like, but I'm holding a secret. And he's like looking around like I can't say something. And there was something, I just looked at him a little different. And I was like, huh, I think you're fucking using her. I really got like not good vibes. Whoa. For the first time. I didn't think anything before that. I thought he was just some weed grower from Colorado who didn't care about the fame. But I'm like, you know what? I think he's going to use Kristen's publicity in the show for his weed farm to sell that weed. Also, what? I think that's what he does. I'm pretty sure I found that on Reddit.
Okay. Interesting. So they say he has a farm. They haven't said what kind of farm. That's interesting. Yeah. Wow. With that's his a friends, theory. All right. Well, I guess stay tuned to see what happens there.
Watch that scene when he said in his confessional.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but it makes me think like, but if you're dating Kristen Doty, you have to know how to play the game. Whatever the game is, even if you're dealing with her, you have to know how to play the game. And that's what I saw, and it gave me the ick. But
yeah, I don't, it gave me a really eerie might not be that might be dramatic, but it just gave me a feeling that he's not here for all the right reasons.
Okay. Well, before we close out, I want to continue my series of IGs and TikToks you need to follow. I've really gone down a very odd hole. And I'm going to shout out these two TikToks that you should follow. One is the cutest little mini cat that's probably the size of both your hands. Can't. Put together, and it's Francis and Maggie on TikTok. If you just want to see a cute little deformed dwarf cat, he's so cute.
Guys, if you've tuned out, so have I.
And the other one is so interesting. It's Underground Girl on TikTok. She's renting out a bomb shelter on the West Coast because rent was so expensive, and she's doing it for 1 year and every day showing a video of what it's like to live in this bomb shelter. For 1 year.
Okay, now I'm tuned back in for everyone listening. Tuned back in.
It's
send me that one. This sounds like one that Kyle would like a lot too.
I'll send it to Kyle. It's the wildest thing you've ever seen. But if you're looking for interesting rabbit holes to follow on TikTok, there you go. We will be back.
Your algorithm is a mess.
There's so much more. I have a whole list. We'll be back next week with an all new episode of Bonded by Bravo. If you don't already, be sure to like and subscribe on Apple Podcast and Spotify, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Bonded by Bravo Pod. Bye, friends.